Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hello, I'm Dom Lenoir. I'm a director and a producer. I'm working on these two fantastic people's projects.
Hello, I'm Alexa Waugh. I'm the producer of I Love My Mum.
And my name is Tatiana Anders, and I am an actress turned filmmaker, and I just produced a short film called Your Reality.
Hey everyone, I have the absolute pleasure and the honour and the privilege of the company, as you can see, and as you've already heard from Dom, Alexa and Tatiana. Hey guys.
Hi.
Hello.
It's quite funny because I know you're all cramped around the laptop at the moment, so I've got half of the two girls either. Oh no, it's a full, on my little screen it's full, but on this big screen it only shows half. It's like cut in half.
We've only got half of them here.
Yeah. We're here obviously to talk about your films. You are actresses and filmmakers and producers, which is pretty awesome. So there's like three.
Yeah. Not an actress, but...
Well, you're not an actress, obviously not. Although with the, I'm not going to give it out, but with that username that you've got there, you know, Dom, that you try to hide.
Yeah. We won't tell the audience what that one is.
No. Bombard Tatiana then, isn't it? But yeah, no, I'm still sure it's yours, to be fair. Just changed the name last minute. Anyway, so here to chat about your films, which you've got coming out, and also the success of Winter Ridge, which you spoke to me about, must be about 2 years ago.
It was a very long time, yeah. I think it was when we were just starting off. And yeah, obviously we've gone through the whole process of the cinema run and all the festivals and everything, really, and it's kind of out on the other end. Won loads of awards, did really well on the cinema, and then that's kind of how I ended up working on Alexa's film, I Love My Mum, because we wanted to do another cinema run.
Mm-hmm.
And
fantastic.
Then on the I Love My Mum cinema run tour, I met Tatiana again, and we were just talking about her film, and then somehow ended up on that as well.
Yeah, Dom is just really good at getting the films out there, because I feel like so many filmmakers make amazing films, but if you're independent, it's actually really hard to get them seen. Mm. And I think it feels like Dom, because he's done it with Winter Ridge and now with I Love My Mom, has a bit more of an understanding of how to go about it and spread the word and get it out there and get it actually seen. Because at the end of the day, you know, if you make a film and hardly anyone sees it, it's kind of a bit of a shame.
It is, yeah. And I mean, yeah, I speak to loads, as Dom knows, loads of independent filmmakers. You know, I've sort of trying to champion that as well, because I truly believe that it is an industry that, like you say, you just needs to get out there. And you know, I'm not exactly big on the thing, but it's whatever support you can, you know, it can be pushed to get independent film out there. Which is, because I mean, I prefer some of them to Hollywood. I mean, if you listen to some of the interviews, I'll just sit there and say I prefer some independent films. I actually prefer to Hollywood blockbusters, because you get more story in there. You get more, you know, you guys more passion, because you're all involved in this, in wanting that product. You've all got your heart involved in it, whereas like Hollywood, I mean, I'm not dissing Hollywood, because I'm sure everyone would love to be getting paid, you know, $60-80 million for a film. But you know, when it gets to that stage, I think sadly a lot of them probably just end up, it's, they're so busy they churn it out and do it, they don't see other cast and stuff, whereas an independent film, it's so involved with everybody, so yeah. you the final product, you do see that on the screen. And as someone who watches a lot of them, it's, you know, they're a lot more personal, I feel.
There's a lot more heart to it, definitely.
Yeah, and the whole marketing behind an independent film is like, you've got to do it yourself, and you've got to kind of go out and reach the channels. Yeah. And you know, people like you that are kind of helping independent film is fantastic, and you get reviews and all that stuff kind of builds into how the festival run works, because you don't just have like tens of thousands of pounds to throw at something in like billboards and a bus like the bigger film do. You've got to piece it together bit by bit and build awareness on every project.
Exactly. I mean, you know, I know some budgets you'd be lucky to get a Del Boy van through Hila with the labels. Obviously, the comment about the Del Boy van was flippant, I know, but it's kind of, it is true. I mean, the budgets, I mean, I spoke to someone and I think the budget for the entire film was less than the budget for the food budget for the last Star Wars film, if I remember rightly, just for the catering. And it puts it into perspective, because you guys work so hard, and like you say, when you've got to do the self promotion, it's not what people see on the film, what people see, you know, they'll see you on the screen, they see you successful, they see you know, on the big screen. What they don't see is the hours and hours, the sleepless nights that you guys have got in either, you know, going out and promoting the film, actually working on it, doing the editing and everything first, and then actually doing the promotion. It's a labor of love. So you might see a credit for, so you see a credit for 2017, but it comes out in 2018. It's because that's 12 months. You've not done anything. It's the fact that you spent 12 months working solidly just to promote and get that film out and get it seen. And it's just brilliant how much hard work goes into it.
I think people who are not in the film industry just really don't realize how much money marketing costs and how much work it is, exactly as you just mentioned. It's just ridiculous. You'd think that most of the budget goes on the production, you know, on paying all the people. But yeah, post-production obviously takes quite a long time, and marketing as well.
Yeah, I mean, when we did I Love My Mum, going into the cinemas, we offered a Q&A for the audience as well.
Yeah.
It was really interesting to hear what they had to say, because, yeah, most people don't understand how much work goes in. And when you say, oh, we shot this 2 years ago or 3 years ago, they're a bit like, why is it taking you so long to get it?
Yeah. And then they come in and they say, oh, so, you know, after you've been doing the tour around the country, we've been like batting around in like a car with like two or three of us, and they're like, so when's it going to hit the general release? Or like, when you can get your proper release? It's just like, oh.
Yeah.
But they do enjoy it, and you get different kinds of questions from those audiences than when you do like a sort of an industry one. But,
yeah.
But you do kind of have a lot of the independent film community are the cinema audience for these kind of films, and you know, it helps when they all support each other, and that allows independent cinema to sort of carry on.
Yeah, for sure.
Definitely. I think that's something else I've seen as well. I attended a couple of the events last year, and it was full of people in the same industry just supporting everybody. And again, that's something with independent film I see so much. It's just everyone pushes and supports each other, most people. Should I say, supports and pushes? I won't say everybody, because that's not true. So yeah, most people push each other and support each other. And again, that's something that's, you know, supporting each other's projects, because you're all out to do the same thing. You're all trying to achieve and deliver decent projects at the end of the day. So it's why can't we work as a community and get it out? You're not fighting each other. You're not trying to battle each other. Possibly you are to get the cinema date, but you know what I mean. It's not a fight. It's you're producing art. You're producing art. That's all I can say, is an art form to go out there for people.
Absolutely. I think also the community is tiny, so everybody knows each other, and especially with crew, you're all crossing over. I mean, exactly what is happening here with you know, Dom working on every single person's film now, which is amazing, because you know, he's obviously found something that he's very, very good at. And people will then want to use you, and that's exactly what happens with the crew. You know, you find someone that you like and you keep using them, but they're all ultimately working on other people's as well. And you know, when you do go to these events, it's like a little get together of everyone in the industry, just, you know, to say hello to each other, because the further you get in, the more people you will find that you know.
I think that's a very important point as well. Like, you know, we're doing two different projects, and we're just all on a thing together. Some people can be very like fussy about, you know, the competition between other people. Mm-hmm. I don't see film people as competition. Like, I look at like the Hollywood films, like that's the level which, you know, I think everyone should be aspiring to. Is like, you know, we're trying to make, you know, amazing films, and at the independent level, we're all just making different projects. Mm-hmm. There's never like a lack of resources. It's not like, even if you're making a drama film and your friend's making a drama film, they'll appeal to different investors, they'll appeal to different distributors, they'll appeal to different casts. You're never really going to be in a situation where you're taking away from another filmmaker if you don't share your connections or whatever. And I think there's, you know, that's that. You know, I think there is an abundance in the industry, and that should be the way that people look at it.
Definitely, definitely. Oh, sorry, I was still chuckling away. I think if you turned in everyone's films, just change your name to Don the Don, the film Don, the Godfather of. Sorry, I know. But yeah, what you said is absolutely perfectly true. It's right, and it's, you know, that's what the support is. And I think in the UK, there is that support there, and that mutual respect going out there. And like you say, there's always going to be one or two people. There is in every industry. I've been in IT for 25 years, and I know people out there who I'd never want to see again or deal with again. And it's the same with, you know, that kind of, you know, you do get that a lot. So, I mean, obviously, for you two guys, so Tatiana and Alexa, what drew you to work with Don, obviously? Don, I called you Don then, Dom. You've already got the nickname, you've got the moniker. So working with Dom, what drew you into for your project?
Actually, what you've just said as well, being able to communicate well with the other person and just get on a personal level is so important. Mm. And with Dom, I can see that he, whatever project he takes on, he's really invested in it and he is putting everything he can to make it a success. And for me, that was a really big criteria why I wanted to work with him. And I've seen, you know, him going on the tour with I Love My Mom. Mm. And not everyone would do that. You know, you have to be very committed to, yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's about wanting to share your knowledge as well. Like we were just saying, you know, a lot of people within the industry, they want to support each other. And Dom is very much, you know, let's get it out there. Let's show it to everybody. And it's having everything close to your chest is never going to get you the kind of audiences that you really, really want. You've got to be open with people and you've got to want to push things out there. And like you say, you know, Dom comes on to something. I feel like we're completely bigging him up here. He totally deserves it because you're right. He does. He completely goes in all and he's fun to be around. And I think as he's a very good producer as well. Which, you know, when you're working in small teams, you've all got to have your strengths and you've all got to go to your strengths. And Dom is very good at pushing people to get what he wants in the nicest way. And, you know, sometimes when we're doing other stuff, it's nice to be able to know and trust that that job is going to get done. And not have to, you know, go up behind him. I completely trust him, and that makes such a difference.
Well, I mean, kind of from my point of view, like I'm always just looking to help people that I think are talented and are nice, and they have a, you know, a good work ethic, and they're looking to make films for the right reasons as well. I mean, for me, it's always like story led is one thing, and then it's like after that, it's the people behind the team. And, you know, Alberto and Alexa are great. And, you know, Matt I've worked with before. And, you know, all of those guys, like they're just, you know, fun to be around. They're kind of making films because, you know, they want to share an experience with the audience. And, you know, it's really great to work with Alexa because, you know, she just gets on and sort of does stuff very, very quickly and very to the point. And is always smiling, which is good. Enjoy the experience. And you know, Tatiana is doing like a great film on a great you know, subject matter, and I always think it's important to bring those kind of topics to audiences that, you know, I mean, some mental health and gaslighting and those kind of things, and you know, there's a lot of people that suffer, and for me, if you can help people, it's great because of the message of the film. And also because, like, there's not enough people, like, you know, I've struggled for years and I've, you know, always had to make films off my own back. I've funded stuff myself. You know, I've always been battling to get the sort of people higher up to help. And, you know, a lot of people have helped on Winter Ridge. And, you know, I guess that was the first experience when I sort of worked with, like, a lot of higher sort of level people that were sort of invested. But a lot of people don't have those options, and a lot of people just close the door on people. And I think it's incredibly unfair, and I wouldn't want anyone else to go through that struggle and challenge with their own films. So if you can help, you know, why shut the door on people? Like, just help them. Help everyone complete their films and succeed. So that's kind of where my position is on everything.
Great ethos. That's great. It's, you know, now I can see why you two guys want to work with him. You know, it's you're like, yeah, true, yeah. You're like the cement, really, aren't you? From what Alex was saying, the cement that draws everything and brings everything in and solidifies a project in a good way, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Tatiana, moving on to yours then, because you have got a new short film and it is a very poignant one about your reality. What can you tell me about this? Just give me a brief overview.
Sure. So it's a short film that I've written. I got inspired by a friend who was unfortunately in a very toxic relationship, and it dragged her down a lot. And when they broke up, it took her years to recover from it. And I was kind of just reading an article about gaslighting, and I kind of connected the dots, because you also don't really realize it. This is the reason why I'm doing it, because when you don't know that it's there, you're not looking for it.
Yeah.
When I read the article, I was like, oh my God, yeah, that's exactly what happened to my friend. And I started to look more into it, and I read lots of books on psychology, on gaslighting, to the point where I think if you would look into my history of like the books that I've read, people probably would assume I have a problem. No, I'm good. I'm really lucky within my relationships. But I can see, we started actually doing a crowdfunding campaign for the film, to raise money, but also to raise awareness, and kind of get, you know, spread the word. It's in a way a good marketing tool as well. And when I was doing that, more and more people came forward to me and said, it happened to me, you know, I was in a relationship like that, or I had an abusive boss, or, you know, my parents, et cetera, et cetera. So, and actually it shocked me, because I knew that the problem was there, but to that extent, I was doing another interview as well, and the interviewer, after like 5-4 questions, she's like, yeah, actually it happened to me as well, and that's why I wanted to interview about it. And I was like, bloody hell, this is really unexpected for me. But yeah, let's talk about your problem and you know, what happened to you. I'm curious now. And and that's why I think it's interesting. So the story is about a woman who is relatively successful, but not quite, you know, confident. I mean, she hasn't had any luck in relationships. So I think it does take certain people who are more prone to gaslight, to being gaslighted than others. Because gaslighting is, you know, the idea behind it is that someone tries to undermine your perception of reality and try to make you believe that something that you remember happened differently. So they try and give you their perception of reality.
Yeah.
And which most of the time is completely skewed and completely wrong. And in a way, you know what happened, right? Like, you're not stupid.
Mm-hmm.
But because being so convinced about how things happened in the past, for example, over time, you actually start doubting yourself. And in relationships, it's twice as worse, because you are invested in the other person, hopefully wanting you to be happy, right? Like, that's why you're together, because you love the other person and you believe that they love you back and they want your best. And you start trusting them over your own memories and your own gut feeling of what's right and what's wrong. And this is where people start getting really depressed. And they don't really know why, because it's so subtle and it happens over years, sometimes months, but mostly it just creeps up on you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I wanted to make the film, because I feel like by seeing someone going through the situation where she meets this guy and kind of things a bit off, but not like terrible, like it's not physical abuse or it's not that obvious, but it's just like tiny seeds through the relationship as they go, and which, you know, ends up in depression and ends up in like a really dark place. And I think hopefully if someone watches it and they can sort of relate to it and they understand that this is gaslighting, my goal for it is that they can at least open up a dialogue about it and start thinking about whether, if they're unhappy in their relationship, whether it's them or whether they're just in an abusive relationship. Yeah.
Cool. Thank you. I didn't want to interrupt any of that. I was quite happy. I was just not interrupting. That was really, really good. And it sounds like such a subject that you need to bring to light. Like Dom said before, it's like so many people out there who are suffering from this, and they hide. They don't, you know, it's only just coming, I think, as a more accepted to come out and open up and you know, very much like depression and stuff like that, it's been talked about in the public eye. So to be able to make a meaningful film about it is, you know, to reach more people. Because it's like you say, like you just said, the more people can come out, maybe look at that and think, that's happening to me, you know, and then work it out in themselves and come out. That's what the whole, you know, that's what we were talking about before. That's making your art form to reach people and reach and help if you can. Sounds really, really good.
And it's good as well because you've got a subject matter behind the film. So it's not just a film for entertainment sake. You've also got like a, you know, a secondary topic that there's already a lot of interest in. And, you know, kind of what you were saying about the crowdfunder as well, like crowdfunders don't always have to be purely to raise money. You could, you know, a lot of them these days, people will go in when they've got some of the funding already, or they'll try and raise a small amount because it does get their platform and the message out. So it's actually a very good way to do, even if you don't. In fact, it's sometimes better to do a crowdfund when you don't need that much money, just as a marketing platform.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. And I think so. How did you feel in Tatiana? Because obviously you star in the film as well, so you're obviously, I can tell the passion that you've got for the product and for obviously being in there. And obviously, if you said you know someone who's gone through that themselves, did you sort of channel that? How did you pull out? I mean, obviously you're an actress, so this is what you guys do, is, you know, you put yourselves in a situation, you just walk away from it. But that sounds like something it might be hard to walk away from, especially when it's such a close thing to you.
Yeah, I must say there were a few scenes that were quite dark and quite draining to play. Even, you know, it was like one scene towards the end where once we've shot it, I'm like, wow, I'm wiped out. I'm just so tired, and you know, it's really, really draining. But yeah, in a way, I'm happy that we've done it and I have it behind, and I don't have to like worry about it anymore. And I think I was really lucky with my crew and my cast. They were so supportive. And, you know, we had a vision and it was really well structured. And I was kind of like, because I was wearing lots of hats on this production. You know, I've written it, I've kind of like driven the production. And I was sort of like doing what, you know, while we were filming, we had to sort out our final location, which was like a coffee shop. So I'm in between trying to call people, be like, you know. Do you have, because of the schedule of everyone, we had to shoot it on a Saturday, and Saturdays, either all the coffee shops are closed or they're completely packed. So nobody wanted to have us, and it was a complete nightmare. And I was like, and I really didn't want to postpone it, because I feel like once you lose the momentum, it's really hard to get it back up.
Yeah.
So it was so stressful, honestly. And I'm like, of course I had people supporting me, but everyone else, it's my project, you know, I'm like, if I'm not going to sort it out, I don't think anyone else will. So it was really added pressure for me.
That's the essence of surviving film, isn't it? It's when you have those moments when you're trying to deal with a billion things and after hits, and you've got to try and do that on top of everything else. And that's what, you know, you've got to have the ability and the sort of mentality to survive those things. And that's literally what creates a film.
Yeah,
but I was really happy I found a great director who came on board, because I don't think I'd be able to direct and act in it, because I've done a really, really like short, a 5-minute short before that where I directed it and acted in it, and it's just impossible. I don't know how some people do it, because it's like, you know, how do you? You have to be just really, really well prepared, where you storyboarded everything and know exactly all the angles. But I was like, at least, you know, I could rely on someone else doing a good job.
Yeah.
Where you have to worry about one thing less.
One thing less from everything else that you were doing for it. Excellent.
I had a really great team on board. Of course, as you know, even the costume designer and first AD was brilliant as well. So yeah, it's good. I think it's so important, and it's going back to like having this community and having people in the team who you can rely on. Where if that doesn't happen, you know, you can forget it. Really, honestly.
Excellent. And you've just completed this one, haven't you? That was completed this year. if I'm right, am I thinking that right, or have I got that wrong totally?
It's completely right. We're doing a screening actually on this Saturday, and it's going to be the first time that I'm going to see it completed fully as well.
Fantastic.
On a cinema screen,
that's right. Wow. And I'm really, really excited about that, because it's kind of like a little dream come true, isn't it? When you see it on the script, on the paper, and then you see it on the big screen, and I'm really excited.
But it may already have happened by the time you watch this. You may be travelling back.
I know, yeah. People,
yeah. Yeah, exactly.
That might have already happened. Yeah, I'm gutted because I say I know you invited me to that, and I'm really appreciative of that. I can't make it. I was out of work for 2 months. I'm still waiting for that first paycheck on my new job, and it's like, so from North Wales to London is just a tad out of reach for the time being. But I really do appreciate that coming through. I'll take that little bit out, don't I? But no, so that's really great, and obviously the fact that you're going to see it on the big screen as well, which is fantastic. Where else are you hoping to be able to get it up?
So we're gonna do a screening just for, you know, film industry professionals, as well as friends, as well as crowdfunding supporters, because that was one of the perks. And then we're gonna go into festivals, and then after that, my goal is to potentially try and get some kind of distribution for the short film, and also I'd love to turn it into a feature, but depending on how people react to it and whether people feel like there's enough. I think there's enough to turn it into a feature, because my idea would be, you know, the short film is her getting into this terrible position, whereas I'd love to see her getting out of it as well. And that would be sort of like the concept of a feature film. How do you end up in it and then manage to, you know, put it behind you and come out stronger? I think that would be a good message to send to people, and cool. Like, never, not everything is lost.
That would be great. I might know a distributor as well. I can put you in touch with. I'm just thinking now. So this is what I love about my job as well. I mean, so many people from across the industry. So it's all about sharing. But yeah, now I work with Film Vault quite a lot. The guys, I'll give them a little bit of a shout. But they're really good. Really good guys. So I can pass. Put you guys in touch. You probably already are, to be fair, but with Dom with his fingers all up eyes. Yeah, no, that's great. I mean, I've actually put down, because I mean I love short films, but I think the work to go into a short film, because you've got, you know, it's the same sort of thing, but you've got to put the entire storyline into something, which is what some, you know, obviously sometimes you get an hour and a half, 2 hours for in a big feature, but you've got to scrunch it right down to 20 to 30 minutes. I mean, I think they should be viewed more often. Something I've done is I wrote to my local, something to tell you now, because this is my support. I wrote to my Merlin Cinemas, who are one of my local cinemas, because I suggested that you should actually start having short films at the beginning of a feature film to help promote independent film. And, you know, like, you used to have the matinees, yeah?
Now they're replaced by adverts, I think.
Yeah.
Make some
more money, eh? Yeah, get rid of the adverts.
That's what I say again. Get rid of, you know, you've got all that time at the beginning. You could actually have a short film in front of your main feature, and it will help promote the independent film. And
I
never heard back
anyway.
From them. Never heard back from them, but it's, you know, I keep trying to push people like that. And so I think, oh, that's, you know.
Ask, you don't get, right?
Exactly.
They do it in a couple of places.
Yeah, they
do. Not many, but they do it sometimes when they have like a premiere somewhere, they'll have a short. Mm,
yeah.
So it needs to be brought back, I think.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. The old matinee thing. You know, I'm not that old. I can't remember them, but to be fair. Long, long time before I was born, though, so cool. So the other film, obviously, we are here, is I Love Your Mum. I love your mum. I love your mum as well. Yeah.
I do love my mum.
He's just nonchalant in the background. Yeah. So, yeah. Cool. So,
yeah, I mean, I Love My Mum is very different to what yours is. It's a comedy directed by Alberto Sciarra, starring Kirsten Waring and Tommy French. And we have a few cameo roles in there as well. So Frank LaBeouf, ex-Chelsea player, he's in there, and we've got Dominique Pignon, who massive French actor, which is very exciting as well. He was brilliant. So yeah, really quite a nice cast, but it is practically a two-hander, about a mother and a son who have an argument and get themselves shipped across to Morocco, and they've got to find their way back again.
An argument over cheese.
Which is quite funny because Tommy, who plays Ron, hates cheese.
She's outrageous.
So it was always, poor boy, he was always having a camembert and yeah, hated.
Lovely. Camembert's horrible for me, sorry. I'm sorry. I don't like cheese very much.
Cold, are we talking like melted with a bit of rosemary on top?
Yes.
No.
No, I don't like cheese. I can't. I'm not cheddar cheese. I'm just a basic cheddar cheese. That's it.
I'm afraid. Cheese on toast?
Yeah. That's not too bad.
Good old common
good old northern food, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. I mean, so that is obviously to get a trip around Europe then, don't they? Obviously trying to find their way back.
Yeah, I mean, as a line producer, because I line produced this as well, it was the best job ever. We got to go to Morocco, Spain, Italy. And I say Spain, we went to Barcelona, we were in the Pyrenees, and... Yeah, it was just an incredible, incredible shoot. We had a really good cast with us, a really good crew. We had quite a minimal crew that came round with us for the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And then in each of the different places that we went to, so Spain and Morocco, we had a fixer that worked with us as well. And their team of people that helped us with the language and, locations and stuff, because obviously they know it a lot better than we do. So Morocco was a tiny crew. But yeah, they were amazing, and I remember speaking to them when I got to Spain, because they went to Italy for a week whilst I was planning the London shoot.
Right,
I was here in London, and I got to Spain to meet them, and they'd had a tough time in Italy already. And I just remember sitting down and saying to everybody, "Look, this has been hard, but it's going to get harder. So if you want to leave, then now's the time." Because we essentially, what you see on the screen is exactly the same journey as what we did as crew and the cast as well. You know, we travelled in Marrakesh all the way up to Tangier, and Tommy was driving in the taxi and we were following him and, you know, trying to move crew and kit and everything across on the planes. And, yeah, it was a logistical nightmare. It was brilliant, though. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. And obviously, I love working with Alberto, which makes a difference that once you've gone through production, you've then got to go through the edit and, you know, then get it screened. We screened it quite a few times to closed audiences to see their reaction. I mean, the first time that we showed it was over 2 hours long, and it had a completely different ending. So, yeah, it's been back and forth into the edit as well after getting lots of different people's opinions. And then, yeah, getting a sales on board and then taking it to the market and then moving into self-distribution and getting Dom on board to help us cinema. With the cinema.
Excellent. I mean, that's a fantastic journey. I mean, it sounds like a complete, really hard working, but it sounds like a great road trip, to be fair. So, you know, it's one that... You know, just I can imagine. I was picturing when you said about Morocco to Tangier and stuff. I was just picturing big 4x4s with dust flying everywhere, with all the equipment on.
More like four minis going. No, I mean, it was just, yeah, it was so amazing. And you know, in every independent film, and I'm sure in every studio film as well, Hollywood film, you have your ups and downs, and there's some real times that you're struggling and you. But that's the key to having the right team on board with you and the right crew and working with people that you get on with, because there will be moments of, you know, tense when you don't agree with something and you've got to talk it out. And, you know, having those honest conversations with each other can be a struggle if you're not getting on with people, which can then ultimately lead to, you know, a whole film getting canned and not being pushed out there because people just want to give up rather than, you know, pushing through and getting it out there. So I'm very, very lucky to say that has not happened on this shoot. And the film's doing very well.
Yeah. I think that's one of those things, like, for me, like, the worst thing in the universe is for people to abandon a project when people have already gone through the... Some people I know that have just, like, abandoned it in a short film, or, you know, it could even be a feature that you've shot.
Mm-hmm.
Because of disagreements or stuff, like, they just give up, and they just think, like, when you spend so much time and money and effort, there's just no excuse. Like, no matter what the problem is, you've got to get the article finished, even if it's not the best thing you ever wanted. At least have something to show people. This film is interesting because, I guess in a way, it's a little bit like how you shoot a documentary. Like, you shoot tons and tons of footage. Mm-hmm. Alberto did loads of improvising, shooting their journey on the road because it was so, hectic and off the rails.
Yeah.
So you had such a big amount to do in post-production. You kind of had a lot to...
Yeah, 100%. I mean, this film was very much guerrilla style. We shot it very guerrilla style. Mm-hmm. The previous films that I've worked on, it's been very organised. We knew exactly what the schedule was. We knew exactly where we were. Going to the locations and doing exactly what we said on the script. And we did shoot to script, but it was, those extra moments that we're all in bed and Dom's dragged the DOP out of his bed to get the sunrise shots. And, Alberto, sorry.
Yeah, I wasn't there.
We're
talking about Dom too much. No, I love it.
I just fell up at dawn. I was like, I'm going to go out to those mountains. I'm not on the project yet, but I'm there.
Oh, I love it. Sorry. No, Alberto was always making the DOP get up and just, I mean, all of us got sick on the shoot and, it was just so full on and we put the actors through a lot as well. Completely different shoot to what I'm used to as well. Yeah. I remember having... the first time that I met Alberto, having a conversation about how he wanted to shoot it, and him and I just clicked, so it made it a lot easier when he said to me, I want to shoot this gorilla, and I just sort of looked at him and went, oh gosh, we're going to have to get a crew on that can work like that, because people can't work like that. It's the expectations of, there's a lovely shot of them in the villa. And we lived in that villa whilst we were shooting.
Right.
So, and we're all sharing rooms. And so it was very much, you're on this and you damn well know you're on it. It can be a struggle if you don't have a crew because the minute you get somebody that's not happy about that, it becomes a really big problem that then detracts from what you're actually trying to achieve. I was very lucky to have an amazing crew that just kept on our side and worked with us and, managed to get what Alberto was trying to achieve.
That is good. And I mean, you're right, because I can imagine when you're on top of each other, not literally, but you living on top of each other. Lawsuit coming my way, yeah. when you're living on top of each other like that, if there is a disagreement, back in the days in the TA that I did at weekends and you were living on top of each other, we had a disagreement with someone, it ended up, with fists flying at their end and then you didn't talk to each other. And like you said, Dom, you don't have that. If people should give up projects. And I have known a couple. I'm not going to say it because, I've got no money, so I can't afford a lawsuit either. But I know somewhere they have given up projects because people haven't been cooperative or people have just not liked what the product was. And so they didn't end up giving a, they just went there every day and they just arsed it up, basically. It's like, it just went wrong and they just gave up on the film in the end. I think there's two films I know of where that's happened. And it is sad because I'm sure there would have been a huge potential for it. But it's just unfortunate, like you say, the gel, you need to have that proper crew. And that's something I see on my Facebook all the time with you guys, connected with all you guys, is I can always see the same names, like yours, Dom, and everyone works together. It's always him, like you said. But it's good, though, because everyone's like, you all tag because you all worked with the same people because you can trust them.
Mm-hmm. And 100%. That's a good thing. It definitely says a lot when you can see names over and over again. I work with somebody called Tom Payton, who's a writer director.
Oh, Tommy, I know he's been on a couple of times, so I started out with Pandorica.
I worked on Pandorica and I produced Black Sight and Stairs with him.
Oh, did you? Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. So, you know, he's another one that when we have a crew, I can count on my hands the people that have gone from Pandorica all the way through, but they're still mm-hmm. part of the team. And, you know, I love that because I think, again, it comes back down to about trust and working with people that you know are going to give you the results that you want. But also, ultimately, we all just want to have fun. And in the production side of things, that's the best bit. You know, getting out there and being on set and being with everybody is getting that vision that you can see in your head out onto the screen is the bit that should be the most fun. So if you can find the team to constantly work with, then, yeah, it makes a lot. Makes a big difference.
Excellent. Yeah, Pandorica. I mean, Pandorica was my first premiere that I attended. It was over in Buchwelly in North Wales. They were doing a sci-fi convention, so it was the world premiere of, like, obviously to the sci-fi convention. So I got invited to that because it's near me anyway. So I went along, and I've got to say I never felt proud because obviously Mark was there, Mark Zammit, Luke De Silva, and everyone. And I was stood in the queue outside because everyone there's a massive queue of people waiting to get in, and I was just stood there sheepishly because they told me to just come and ask for Mark. I was like, I don't even know what he looks like. But then, but then Luke came out and he was like, Chris. I was like, yeah. And he goes, come with me. Put his arm around me. Walked me straight through. Walking past all these people going to the little tables, to the VIP table with all the cast and stuff. And I was just like, look at you plebs. I was just like,
brilliant.
I was just like, I had that such a great, but that, you know, I mean, that was a great, that was, you know, that was a one pure showed under pressure of other films. And Tom, not to distract from your films, the way Tom's actually progressed as well, like you say, because you build that team, like yourself, you know, from, you've gone from Pandorica, which was what, 2 weeks in the wood where everyone froze their asses off filming, all, you know, that with such a small crew, right through to Blacksite and everything from forward as well. So you're, you know, because you've got that gel and you've got those continual people working together, it just shows how you, things can build up and sort of spiral out. And Winter Ridge, I mean, that's, you know, for Dom, that's gone so far. So that really has. I mean, I've been watching it on Facebook, and I've been seeing it going up and up and up, and I see all these things, all the screenings and everything going to, and all the awards and all these ceremonies and things. It's just amazing. I'm just sitting here watching it and thinking, I know these guys. Or I've talked to them, should I say. I'm not going to go behind that. It's like, it's for me, so it's just like, wow.
Involved as well. It's like the whole team gets to kind of enjoy the ride as well, even if they're not. Loads of the crew came to the screenings, and you know, they get to kind of relive the fun of the shoot as well, so it's, you know, it's nice for everyone, really.
Exactly. It's like Tatiana's on Saturday night, you're going to have everyone's going to be there to see you for the first time in one piece. I can imagine you're quite nervous about that, to be fair.
Yeah, a little bit.
I'm sure it'll be...
No, it's like, it's your baby, and you're like, you want everyone to like it, especially when people get to watch it for the first time.
Yeah.
I think it's very exciting, but you can't help feeling nervous.
I know, I can imagine. But I'm sure it'd be a huge success anyway. Not that I can speak now. It's tongue's getting tired. But so it will be. I'm sure it will be a huge success on Saturday, or for people who are probably watching this after it's happened, that has been a huge success. And it was
amazing. Everyone was there. The BBC, the Hollywood Reporter.
Sky, CNN, you know. Hollywood Reporter came over.
Yeah.
Brilliant. But yeah, I mean, it's great to hear. And I'm going to say, the films, obviously, they're all out there now. And I will watch them because they do sound great. I mean, obviously, I Love My Mum. It sounds so good, such a lovely little road trip to go through, to be fair. I know Dom sent me a link, and I just really apologize. I haven't had a chance
amazing.
To click on it yet.
It's
one of those, so it's like I will be there and I will be watching. But it's just, I can't wait, to be fair, because you got the enthusiasm, you guys, when you talk about the films as well, it kind of buzzes me to watch them even more. It's great. So I'm trying to, you know, so it's just fantastic that we can be in a situation where we can sit and talk about product that's coming out and meaningful, and obviously, you know, good fun with I Love My Mum and Dead Meaningful with Your Reality and stuff. And it's just, I've lost for words now, which doesn't happen very often.
Great.
So cool, I mean, I do have a signature question, but I'm just tempted. I think you guys will have fun with it. This is a complete off the wall thing. Before we sort of wrap this up, and I let you go for the evening because you've probably been working all day as well, is right. This spirals from the fact two years ago now, I had a guy on who's worked with Jim Henson for 30 years. He's had his hand up a puppet for all that time. He's had his hand up Yoda. He's had his hand on Jabba. just for the innuendo lovers out there. And his question was, someone asked me the question to ask him, and it was a long-winded way of getting around to it. If you could have a Muppet created after you, what Muppet would it be and why? This is after your own personality.
Oh,
it's a totally off-the-wall question.
Me? Or you?
For me. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe Cookie Monster. He's pretty fun. I like the Family Guy renditions of Cookie Monster, where he's like, he's got like the heroin needle and he's got cookies he's turning off. I've got a bit of a sweet tooth, so maybe Cookie Monster for me.
Okay. That's the only one I know. Kermit or Piggy.
Yeah.
Miss Piggy. Miss Piggy.
Bert, why are you shouting, Bert?
Why is he nice? Someone that's... is there a Muppet that's loud?
Kermit, maybe.
Smiley and a drama Bill queen. Smile, probably Miss Piggy.
Yeah. There we go.
Yeah, probably is. Right, I mean, I don't think I'm as obnoxious as she is, but...
Very loud, is she? Yes, she is.
Definitely in a public drama queen. Excellent. So, yeah, Miss Piggy.
I don't know, honestly. Sorry.
You can give
me suggestions, so yeah.
Maybe Kermit. Lovely.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
All right, I can live with that.
Which one are you?
Me? I don't know. No one asks me that because I'm just boring. I don't know. I'm a mix. I guess I'm a mix of. I think I'm a bit like Fozzie Bear.
Do you know what? I'm going to go research all the Muppets and the
Fozzie Bear's like great one.
Yeah, because it's trying to make jokes and it just doesn't happen. Waka waka waka. It's the only one. Enough of that crap. I have to ask that to everybody, so apologies for the fact that it just threw you. Is there anything you'd like to say before I stop recording to the people who are watching and listening?
Just keep watching independent films, because I feel like, you know, the more people are interested in them and excited about them, the more it fuels the industry and gets us excited and gets more funding even, you know, and it's just... films that, as you mentioned in the very beginning, they have more heart and we're really passionate about it, and it's not really about the money, where with Hollywood is much more calculated business making. So I think it's a huge difference, and I think it's nice for us when people go out and watch our films.
Mm. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And keep listening to podcasts, because you never know what you're going to learn and hear and, you know, yeah.
I think my advice is never aim low. Like, make the kind of film you want to make. If you're dreaming of Hollywood films, go out and make them. Like, that's always been my goal. That's where I'm heading. Like, that's kind of people I want to work with. And, you know, I want to go make films in America. And I think sometimes in the UK, people can be limited by the industry in terms of what they feel they can aspire to. And, you know, I've met so many filmmakers that have done things through unconventional means, and I think anything's possible if you kind of put your mind to it. And it's up to the people at the top to look at the people who are coming up and actually give them a hand, because a lot of the time there isn't the support. And I think we just need to keep trying and work with good people that can enable them to do it.
Yeah, 100%.
That's my advice.
Mm-hmm. Good one.